coming up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Matt Duchene is headed to Columbus in a blockbuster trade. What's the fantasy impact? What's Charlie Coyle's upside with the Bruins? And is Ryan Donato worth rostering after his strong debut for Minnesota? Plus, other players to target before Monday's trade deadline. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Pete and Rob here with you on this Friday morning, talking about the big Matt Duchene trade. Duchene going to a surprising location. He's going to the Columbus Blue Jackets, Rob, a place that was already up in turmoil, but now it looks like this team's going all in.
They're all in, Pete, and it's a classic hallway trade. Columbus was in Ottawa, and Matt Duchene just walks down the dressing room, gets a different colored sweater, and is expected to play tonight, Friday night. So this one's crazy for DFS and season long, but I like it a lot. I think Columbus, they've anted up. They're all in. I love that mentality.
We saw how close they were last year. They were a couple of bounces away, a couple of overtime games away from beating the Capitals and probably going pretty deep into the playoffs if they were able to do so. So now Columbus had Panarin. They still have Panarin, Bobrovsky. The big question for me is what's going to happen after this? Is this just a series of moves that are about to happen, or is Columbus trying to win the Stanley Cup here and now? That's my instinct right now. And really, Duchene gives them, whether he's on the first or second line, he'll be on that first power play, completely changes the complexion of this Blue Jackets team for the rest of the season.
It does. It's going to be a great get for them at the center ice position, whether he's on the top line or the second line. We'll see all that. We'll see how it shakes out. I expect him to probably bounce around between one and two. This always happens after a big player gets traded. They try him with a couple players, then they try him with some other players. They see what they get. We'll know about this at the playoff time. I'm not worried about dissecting the lines. What I am worried about is I think they're keeping Panarin now. I don't see them foregoing here and changing from the game plan and saying, you know, we got to get assets for this guy. I think they're all in. And I honestly, you know what, I still don't know if Matt Duchene is the caliber of player that gets them past a Washington or a Pittsburgh. I know they were a few bounces away from getting past Washington last season, but you could say that about a number of teams any single season. The reality is, the writing on the wall, they didn't get it done. And I don't think they're going to get it done this season either.
He is not a player that has much of a playoff pedigree. He has been an elite player this season, though. 58 points in 50 games for the team that was dead last and is dead last right now in the NHL standings in the Ottawa Senators. So was that production more of being a bright spot for a terrible team? Or can he translate this for the rest of the season? He's a top 50 fantasy player before the trade. Does his value go up, or does it stay about the same?
To me, it honestly stays the same or goes down a little bit. The reason why I say this, he's a multi-point producer, right? And in those games, some of those games, he only needs to play a game in a week to get you on the map in your fantasy matchup. I think his value goes down. Pierre-Luc Dubois is a better center iceman. He is a bigger player, a stronger player, a smarter player than Matt Duchene is. Matt Duchene is what we've seen in his entire career. He's a speed player, skilled player, great player. But he doesn't have those intangibles. He doesn't have those things that Pierre-Luc Dubois brings to the table. And hey, PLD has played great with Atkinson and Panarin so far. So for them to break that up would be a major shakeup for that locker room.
That has been a top 10 line in the NHL this season at large. So you keep them together, slot Duchene in there maybe with a Josh Anderson, who already has 21 goals, career high through the first three quarters of the season. All of a sudden, whoever's on that second line potentially with Duchene, whether it's Boone Jenner, I mean, you have potentially heavy guys with physicality that can protect Duchene and bring out a different element in his game, maybe.
I just don't see this being the impact that everybody thinks it's going to be. Matt Duchene's a good player. I can't stress that enough. But this is a player that hasn't gotten it done in any team that he's played for. They haven't really wanted to keep him around. This is a player that goes into the locker room, has some stuff. I mean, it is what it is. And this is a player now under John Tortorella who doesn't take any of that. This is a coach that doesn't take the riffraff off the ice, anything like that. I'm interested to see what happens here. I think for Matt Duchene owners, while you're excited about this now, while everybody loves dissecting the trades, talking about it, I don't think this does a lot for you rest of season value.
If you have room to trade Matt Duchene in fantasy right now and capitalize on this potential value spike, at least based on what it looks like would you do it? Because center position in fantasy is very deep, and if you're anticipating any type of a downgrade in value, you could certainly get a trade suitor in a fantasy league right now.
Now, okay, that's a great question, and I'm torn because if we see the line combinations come out today, Pete, and they're going to go all in and take a shot with Panarin and Duchesne together and maybe stack Atkinson on the right, I don't sell. I keep him. But if they're going a different direction, if they're trying to spread out that scoring, which is my hunch, because they don't have secondary scoring there. Wennberg, I've never even heard his name once this season, right? They have a problem with the secondary scoring. My vision is they spread that thing out. He's going to play a second line role. Maybe, right, it could be Boone Jenner on his side. It could be Josh Anderson, who's having a great season in hits leagues. And you can't say enough about that. But unless that's the case where they go all in and stack this up, I would try and capitalize on that move. Not because I don't like Duchesne as a player. We all know where I stand on Dutchie, but to me, this one does worry me. This is a situation where the team's good, much better than Ottawa. They need to spread that thing out, and they need to play better hockey in general.
The Tortorella aspect is a little concerning with three huge name players in the same locker room with Tortorella. It's just an unforeseen dynamic, really. You look back at all those, you know, the core players in Tampa Bay with Tortorella were completely different vibes than these three guys who, you know, not necessarily selfish players, but guys that have not there's been a lot of antics going on in Duchesne's career with Colorado as that thing had a falling out. And then, of course, with the Panarin situation and Bobrovsky being suspended this year. It's just the dynamic is crazy and unforeseen.
And, Pete, these are players that are all unrestricted free agents this summer. These aren't guys that are locked up and they can sort these things out. They have time to smooth out the bumps. They have 2 months. Two calendar months to figure this thing out, to get the combinations right, to get the locker room chemistry there. If they don't, if they lose in the first round, what are the chances Matt Duchesne is saying, hey, I'm bringing my family to Columbus, Ohio?
I think they're all gone, maybe either way. So this is really the ultimate risk for Jarmo Kekalainen, John Davidson, John Tortorella. It's an enormous risk, but potential huge reward for a franchise that has never won a Stanley Cup playoff series. The one thing I worry about, though, this is a risk, a lot of pressure, a weird dynamic in the locker room potentially, and you're going to almost definitely run into in the first two rounds. If you make the top three, you're going to run into the Pittsburgh Penguins and you're going to run into the Washington Capitals, two teams that have had Columbus's numbers forever.
That's exactly it. And the reason why, see, I love this all-in mentality from the general NHL standpoint where we get more trades, we get more movement, we have more things to talk about and dissect because I love doing that. But this Columbus team, they don't have a track record of doing anything in the playoffs. So if this was a situation where Matt Duchesne was going to Chicago or something and, you know, going three deep center there, I would be all in on that. And I would say that's a great trade. Go all in. That makes sense to me in my mind. But a team that hasn't done this yet, that doesn't have the experience, that doesn't have the locker room leadership to get this thing done, to get them over the hump, I can't sit here and say that I'm confident about Matt Duchesne being a good fit. In fact, a player like that, I worry that, right, as soon as they lose in the playoffs, he's packing the bags, they're gone, and he's got another new team, another new sweater, another new number come next fall.
I am excited, though, to see. I wanted to note that Artemi Panarin, when he played for the Blackhawks, he played with Patrick Kane, but Patrick Kane was on his opposite wing. He was playing at many points with, like, an Anisimov and some weird center combinations. With the Blue Jackets, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who you mentioned, deserves a ton of praise for what he's done this year in his second NHL season. But I think for the Blue Jackets, the possibility of putting Duchesne and Panarin on the same line is really, really attractive. And that's what gets me excited. I get excited about the upside here. There's always risk with these trades and whether or not the chemistry is going to work out. But to me, I don't know that he's ever played with a center at the NHL level with the skill level of Matt Duchesne.
That's a great point. And two, in that case, then you could put Pierre-Luc Dubois and maybe Cam Atkinson on a second line, if you can call it that, right? It's first caliber, but maybe you break that whole thing up and you go with a little duo thing. That could be interesting. And then all these guys come together on the power play, which should hypothetically be one of the best in the NHL if all things go as well as planned.
Oh, man, with Seth Jones quarterbacking that unit, Panarin, Duchesne, Atkinson, Dubois, sign me up. That's exposure that should really turn the tables. Columbus's power play overall during the Tortorella era has been underwhelming, to say the least.
And honestly, I mean, for the Blue Jackets, if they've got Matt Duchene now coming in, I'm not convinced that they're done loading up. I think they might even, if they're going to double down on this, they could have other guys go in there. You know, Kevin Hayes, Matt Zuccarello. If that's the case, then I like this for Matt Duchene. If they get some more parts there, some wings that actually can sustain that production that we talked about from Josh Anderson, better upgrade over Boone Jenner, I'm back in on this thing. But for me, like, you know, I don't know Matt Duchene, right? So I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to overanalyze it. But for DFS, I think it's worth a shot in your lineup just to see how this thing goes. Get on the tread now. But in season long, I just think that if you can sell high on Matt Duchene, do that, because the chance of, that Columbus even pulls off another deal, it's probably slim. But hey, if they're trying, that would be pretty cool.
I actually, the only league I have Matt Duchene in is that points only league where we can't make trades. It's an office league that we're enjoying. It's an unconventional league, but it's points only. I'm intrigued. I've had Matt Duchene. I picked him up on the waiver wire earlier in the year just because it's a shallow league. But yeah, Matt Duchene now is going to be in the lineup. I'm also curious, one guy that we both liked coming into the season as a deep sleeper, there's Oliver Bjorkstrand. And if they maybe break up the lines, mm-hmm. you could see them going with maybe one of those tougher guys like an Anderson or a Boone Jenner. And then the third wheel on a line with Duchene could be Bjorkstrand maybe.
That's right. And Bjorkstrand's a player that has all the tools to do it. He might just need that center iceman to be able to get him the puck, to be able to do some of those things for him that Matt Duchene can do. So that's exciting too when you think about it.
And there are so many teams out there that are one-line teams like Dallas, Colorado, Buffalo, Columbus before this trade. So this is really something that we would have never expected them to go all in like this. But it's a big risk. I'm curious to see maybe. I just don't see if they made the, why would they make this trade if they were just going to go off now and shop Panarin. It just doesn't, it wouldn't make any sense. If you're trading away these guys, you'd be stockpiling assets. So instead, I think they're going all in.
I'm with you. And one of the things that makes me even more convinced of that is that their defenseman, Ryan Murray, a great player for them, not fantasy wise, but general hockey wise, is a big contributor for them. He's been placed on IR. John Tortorella said it's a serious upper body injury. That makes me wonder if they think that they're going to be playing a long time without him, maybe well into the playoffs, that they are going to try and load up and do this thing, which would indicate to me that Panarin is staying in Columbus until July 1st.
So Duchene to Columbus, shocking move, probably more to come over the weekend. I mean, maybe if Bobrovsky and Panarin are staying, they're still the elephant in the room in Ottawa with Mark Stone. I mean, Mark Stone is another guy that maybe you could try to swing for now and see where he ends up, because a lot of other teams are going to be following suit with Columbus in trying to win it all right now, because Columbus right now is a Stanley Cup contender. I think that has to be said.
I think the players this truly affects, that truly gain benefit from this, Sergei Bobrovsky value boost big time, and defenseman Seth Joan value boost even bigger. With that offense now, he can move the puck effortlessly. He's got guys to dish to that can finish. I love this move for Seth Jones and for Sergei Bobrovsky.
It's crazy because we were always contemplating where could Bobrovsky potentially go that would spike his value like we were hoping it would be. And now he's staying put, and it might be a best-case scenario, at least for fantasy, from this point until mid-April. You can't envision a better situation than this. Even if Bobrovsky was traded to like the Flames or the Hurricanes, I think this is as good as it gets in terms of a result of the trade deadline for Sergei Bobrovsky.
And then Matt Duchene, he's in the DFS slate tonight. His price is $7,200. I know until this trade goes through paperwork-wise, I don't know if his team is going to change over to Columbus or not. Hopefully it does, but I think he'll get points regardless. He's got three straight games with double-digit fantasy points, right around 20 per game. So, again, you know what you're getting with this guy. He shoots the puck. He can score. He can dish it better than anyone. So, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm excited to see what happens now with Columbus. I just think the two guys that this affects the most, Bobrovsky and Seth Jones.
So one other trade that we wanted to get to that happened the other day. Charlie Coyle goes to the Boston Bruins. Ryan Donato going back the opposite way. Charlie Coyle now has a chance to get thrust into that mix on the power play and also at even strength. Potential exposure to guys like Bergeron, Krejci, David Pastrnak when he returns, Brad Marchand, some plenty of offense to go around, and he's now a part of that equation.
Hometown boy going home, he's a part of the mix now, and we've seen it with Jake DeBrusk recently, who's going for six straight with a goal tonight. We've seen it with Danton Heinen, who was a very much so added player in season long over the past 2 weeks. These guys are relevant on that elite Boston team in the Atlantic Division. I expect the same thing for Charlie Coyle. I think he gets a shot with those two top guys, Marchand and Bergeron, right away. We'll see if that's the case on Saturday when they play the Blues. Good matchup there. But right now, this is a guy in Yahoo. He's got two positions. He's around 10% owned. Going to that Boston team, you really have nothing to worry about picking a guy like that up.
So if you, let's say you have someone who's in the just missed section of our top 100 forward rankings, and you see Charlie Coyle out there, is this intrigue too good to pass up at this point? Because to me, he has the fantasy pedigree from 2016-17 when he had 56 points, but he also could fit an interesting need for the Bruins because he could play center or wing. He could very well be the third line center for this team moving forward for the majority of the stretch run.
That's a good point. And you know what? They might be taking a page out of the Washington Capitals book, who won the cup last year with three strong centers. If they put Coyle there in the 3C slot like Lars Eller played for the Caps, that, you know what, he probably wouldn't produce enough to keep him in your fantasy lineup. But from a DFS standpoint, he's still got exposure on the back end to Charlie McAvoy, Torrey Krug. So I would still keep a flyer on him as long as his price stays around the $4,000 mark. I think that's a solid player to round out your lineup with.
And we've seen a lot of Charlie Coyle in recent years. I think there's something to be said that when he is playing with quality line mates, he's risen his game. I mean, earlier in the year, he had that four-game point streak when he was playing a little bit centering Zach Parise. 2016-17 was playing actually right wing on a line with Nino Niederreiter and Eric Staal, which was a dynamic fantasy unit that season. I think all three of those guys had 55 to 65 points. So he can up his game to that level. And maybe it's a sort of like a Nick Bjugstad fit where some days he's playing center, some days he's playing third line center, some days he's playing second line right wing. Maybe that's how this thing shakes out.
I could definitely see that being similar to Nick Bjugstad. Let's look at the Minnesota end of this trade. They get Ryan Donato, who was in the lineup, had 2 points in his first game. Now he skated on a third line role at even strength, which is not going to excite you. But he skated on a power play unit with Jared Spurgeon, who's been producing very well on the power play all season long. So, you know what? Hey, Ryan Donato's got three positions. If you're in a deep league in Yahoo, I don't think you can miss by picking this guy up either.
And he's on also that second power play unit with Eric Staal, who's a potential 2019 UFA that I feel like no one's talking about. But maybe, and Coyle's, I think, a potential 2020 UFA. So maybe there's a little chemistry there. And the Wild are in that middle ground where they're right in the thick of a playoff spot and they just snapped their 5-game losing streak. So with Donato's immediate impact, to me, I look at this guy as a building block, rookie eligible player in Donato, but still finally a building block for the Minnesota Wild moving forward. This team hasn't had a good young player in years.
It hasn't, and we saw him do this with Boston last season in a small sample size, 9 points in the final 12 games of the season. Very encouraging, and we had him pegged as a rookie to watch entering this year. So, hey, maybe he's still a rookie to watch. It's just taking some extra time, right?
A lot of people think that this trade was a slam dunk for the Boston Bruins. I think it could be, but I really liked when I first saw it, the intrigue of Donato playing on the Minnesota Wild and breathing some youth into that equation. And Zach Parise's had a great year. I mean, I know that team kind of swung and missed with that Niederreiter trade. Didn't really work out very well at all. He's producing really well for the Carolina Hurricanes. But I think that Charlie Coyle could fit in well, and also Ryan Donato with his deep league appeal, monitor him in all formats.
And I would, along the lines with deeper leagues, Pete, I would keep an eye on this guy in DFS too. I'd have him in the lineup as a value play. I don't think you can miss in that spot. And Minnesota, they're a quality team. If they get Matt Dumba back before the end of the season, look for them to make a little bit of noise, maybe challenge for that eighth seed, but time will tell. Now, a couple other players I think we might hear some rumblings of this weekend. One guy I've got my eye on is Wayne Simmonds for the Philadelphia Flyers. They've got a Stadium Series matchup on Saturday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We all know that the Flyers are kind of lost with their goaltender position right now. Wayne Simmonds is the guy I think a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference are looking at and saying, we need a big body that can score on the power play. Do you think he gets moved?
I think he will get traded just because Philly's kind of going off the rails now. Carter Hart being pulled two games in a row, three goals allowed on nine shots faced each game. So that's discouraging to me. We'll see how things play out at the goaltending revolving door that they have right now with Talbot and Brian Elliott. But in terms of Simmons, I do think he will be traded, and I'm interested to see which elite team tries to add this guy, whether it's Nashville, who we thought would be in on Duchesne, Tampa Bay, who we think might add another piece to their already amazing roster. They've won eight in a row. They're rolling. Kucherov just hit 100 points. So look for Wayne Simmons to certainly provide some value here wherever he goes. But if he goes to a team like Nashville that desires some power play improvement, that could be a great fit.
I have a gut feeling he's going to Toronto. And I think they saw it firsthand playing Washington on Thursday night. Tom Wilson scoring a shorty, taunting the fans after the goal. I think Kyle Dubas, the GM for the Leafs, is looking at that saying, hey, we need a big body, strong player that can score. And that's what they're getting with the potential in Wayne Simmons. I think that he would be such a great fit on that power play. And look, now that Nazem Kadri's out with a concussion, if that prolongs, they're going to panic. They're not playing that well lately. Their top guys need some help. They can't carry the full load. They're going to be looking at Wayne Simmons as the savior there.
One guy that I saw in person on Tuesday night against the Penguins at Prudential Center that I'm really desiring to see where he goes at the trade deadline is Marcus Johansson, a player that I know you're very familiar with from his time with the Capitals, but he was the best player on the ice on Tuesday night and shared the ice, I should say, with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Phil Kessel, etc. So that was really impressive. He had a goal and an assist and eight shots on goal, and he's a potential UFA, and he got pulled. He didn't play the game on Thursday, which indicates he's going to get traded this weekend or Monday.
Right, and I know you mentioned to me that you noticed him on every single shift on Tuesday, so he's getting hot at the right time. He's playing good hockey at the right time. His value in terms of the trade market is sky high. And if you think about the possibilities, we mentioned the power play for these other guys. Johansson is a great power play guy in the corner. He dishes the puck better than anybody in that spot. So if he goes to one of those elite teams with a top 10 power play, Johansson could play at a point per game pace for the rest of the season. Mark it down right now.
And I think he's only like 5% owned. I dropped Rickard Rakell, finally cut the cord the other day after that game that I saw with Johansson, and I picked him up replacing Rakell. So do the same if you have an opportunity to drop a marginal fantasy relevant forward and take a chance on a guy that has stepped up in the injury absence of Taylor Hall really well on power play one and line one, and is really capable of playing anywhere in the lineup, second line, third line, power play one, power play two. I mean, he brings it all to the table.
From an overall hockey standpoint, you are getting a jack of all trades there. You're getting a Swiss Army knife. He can do everything. So, right, and he's a left wing. So pick him up in fantasy. Everybody could use a left wing. And I think, too, on this note, you know, DFS players this weekend should really be monitoring the morning skates, the lineups, because a lot of these guys could be scratched Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. So just keep an eye on this. It's going to be DFS is going to be just a little bit wonky now until that trade deadline on Monday.
And, of course, be in touch with each of us on Twitter, NHL Reese for Rob, NHL Jensen for myself. We'll get your lineup in order for season-long and DFS over the weekend as the balls continue to tumble and the trade winds continue to blow.
And we're coming with you a big program on Monday for the trade deadline. I can't wait to dissect some more of these moves with you, Pete. It's going to be a blast. So if you've enjoyed the program this far for DFS or season-long, give us a five-star review. And remember to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, stream on Spotify, Audio Boom, or Stitcher.
So we'll talk to you all again next week. For Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.